Genesis chapter 19, verse 27 and 28. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the plain, toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please teach us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before we got to Genesis 19 and 27 and 28 and read those verses, what transpired was the mission to destroy a nation who needed to be judged by the Almighty, just judge of the universe, and that's God. Sodom was a very wicked nation. They did wickedness in the sight of the Lord, and because of that, that caught the attention of God. They were proud of their homosexuality. You go to Genesis chapter 18, and we read, Genesis 18:18. We'll start there. Oh, we'll start with 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Okay, that's, he knows that Abraham is that type of person, that everyone born in his house will follow Abraham unto God. That's just how Abraham was. Bless the Lord, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Now look at this. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is grievous, is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. When in the Bible, when it says, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, it's talking about that the sin of Sodom needed to be judged. It brought, it got God's attention. God is saying, you know what? That's enough. That's why in the Bible says the iniquity of the Amorites are not yet full. God is merciful. He's giving a nation time to repent. But after a while, God is done with them. Okay, and that's what happened with Sodom. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Sodom, they were very proud of their homosexuality. Go with me to Ezekiel 16:49 and see what happens when a nation is proud of an abomination such as sodomy. Just like this nation is. We have Pride Month. That's why God is judging this nation. To be proud of sodomy is an abomination in the sight of the Lord, and it is asking, it is begging for God's judgment. Ezekiel 16:49 says, am I in 49? Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Okay? That's a thought. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. What abomination are they talking about? It's the practice of sodomy. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. This is why God destroyed this nation. You know, people, oh, God didn't destroy them because of sodomite practices. It's because of they were proud. Yeah, but what were they proud of? Okay, let's not sugarcoat it. I don't know why people are so afraid to just say it, that God did destroy the place because of sodomite practices. Maybe because, I don't know. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. This Bible is kind of small. Okay. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. To be proud of men with men and women with women is an abomination. God will destroy the nation for that. All right. So now we see Abraham knowing that God is going to judge Sodom for the wickedness. And now he starts to plead with the Lord because he knows that Lot is in that country. He says, I will go down now. Hold on one second. I think my computer is acting up. Okay. It says, I will go down now and see what they have done altogether according to it. Now look what Abraham says. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Now, I don't know. Now, listen to me, guys. What happened to the herdsmen that were with Lot? If you go to, I believe it's Genesis 13. Let me see if I can find it. I should have marked it. I didn't bring my big Bible with me. I have my small Bible, so I didn't mark this one. Genesis 13. Yeah, let's do verse 5 of Genesis 13. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for the substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in that land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take thy left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot, now look at this. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar. Zoar is actually a part of Sodom. It's a small city. Let me see something. Who was the king of Sodom of Zoar? Bela was the king of Zoar. But yeah, Zoar was a part of it. Then Lot, matter of fact, because Lot wanted to dwell in that city, God saved Zoar. Zoar was about to be blown up too. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan and Lot Jordan east, and then separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. That's where God wanted him. And Lot dwelled in the cities. Okay, look at that. The cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. I believe he was in Zoar. Zoar is about 40 miles away from Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated. Okay, I'll stop right there. So, what happened to the herdsmen? Okay, who knows? They probably stopped working for Lot. And then they became citizens of Sodom and worked there. And then if you go to Genesis 14, there was war. A company had war against Sodom and kidnapped Lot. Maybe that's how he lost most of his men. I don't know. Maybe they got killed or they ran away. So that's probably what happened to the herdsmen. But you see the example of Abraham. Abraham says in verse 21, and the king of Sodom. This is when Abraham rescues Lot from the enemies that were warring against Sodom, that kidnapped his nephew Lot. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. What was happening here, Sodom was thanking Abraham for defeating his enemies. So the king of Sodom wanted to give Abraham things. And Sodom was wicked, like it says in Genesis 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Abraham knew this. He didn't have anything to do with Sodom. He didn't want anything from Sodom. He didn't pitch his tent towards Sodom like Lot did. You would have thought that Lot would have had some common sense and asked himself, okay, my uncle doesn't want to have anything to do with Sodom, that he doesn't even want to take a shoe latchet from them. Maybe I should do the same thing. No, he doesn't. And he vexes righteous soul because of it. Okay? Okay, that's that. right? So he pitches his tent towards Sodom. He doesn't follow He doesn't follow Abraham's example of being separated from the world. Okay? And what happens to him? Okay? So Abraham starts begging the Lord, praying to the Lord, like, hey, you know, my nephew is there, my brother's son is over there. Please don't destroy that place. And he says, okay, what about this? If you find 50 there, will you spare the place? And God said, yeah, I'll spare it for 50. What about 45? Yeah, I'll spare it for 45. What about 30? I'll spare it for 30. What about 20? I'll spare it for 30. Now look at 27. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? Okay, that's 45. But he cuts it all the way down to 10 people. Let me see if I can find that verse. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. This is Genesis 18 still. And I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure. Peradventure means perhaps. Peradventure. 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord. Okay, so the Lord stops talking to him now. And the Lord went away as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Now look. Abraham knows how wicked Sodom and Gomorrah is. In my opinion, I highly doubt that he thought there was any type of righteous folks there. But he was hoping that at least Lot's... Now listen to me. He was hoping, in my opinion, he was hoping that at least Lot's family was righteous to ward off judgment from Sodom so that Lot's life can be spared. You say, how do you know that? All right. Look at what my friend Mr. David sent me last night, right? According to the scripture. Let me see if I can find those notes he sent me. Because, you know, it's funny. We're having a huge Bible study last night. My dad called me last night about Genesis. So it got me interested. I mean, I was already having a Bible study with my wife. My wife and I were in Acts. But we decided to also dip down in the book of Genesis. And my wife said something very extraordinary. You know, Abraham was in shock. It's like, it says lo, and he saw the smoke. And it's like, good grief, you mean to tell me Lot's family was probably not saved? Okay, all right, that's where we're getting at. I'm going to give you the title in a second. Now look at this. How many people on Lot's family? Everyone knows about this, about these four. Look at Genesis 19:15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest means, you know, in fear of, like, hey, this is going to happen if you don't do this. Lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Yeah, lest for fear of perhaps. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon him and upon his wife and upon the hand of his daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, I think they picked him up and took off running fast, or they flew. All right, so that's that. I'm counting them. These were the virgins. Behold, now, by the way, when Abraham was asking the Lord, like, will you spare it for at least 10? That was the agreement, 10. And you will see that there wasn't 10. And God still saved Lot and his two other daughters. Behold, now I have two daughters. Well, God is merciful. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye unto them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. So far we have Lot, his wife, his two virgins' daughters. So that's about, what, four? But what about these? This is Genesis 19:12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Now look at this. Son-in-law and thy sons. Lot had sons, guys. I want you to stick that in your mind right now. Lot had sons. He had a family. And they and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in thy city, bring them out of this place. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. It was like a joke, because he never spoke about the sin of that wicked country. He never did. He never talked about the Lord. In my opinion, I think he was too afraid, because when he said, do not so wickedly, my brethren, the Sodomites got all offended and wanted to kill him. So, you know, he probably witnessed gang rapes in the city. So he's afraid to speak out against them. That's why he should never have gone to that city in the first place. You know, when you're in a hostile environment and towards Christianity and you can't raise your family right, You got to get out of there. All right, so look at this now. Sons-in-law, at least two. Two married daughters' sons, which is at least two. Let's count them up. Lot, that's one. His wife, that's two. His two virgin daughters, three and four. Sons-in-law, five and six. Married daughters, seven and eight. Sons, nine and ten. God said what to Abraham? And said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, ten shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for ten's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. That's Genesis 13, 32, 33. The ten that the Lord will not destroy Sodom for were Lot's own family. That's why the Lord did not let the number go any lower and left. Sadly, Lot lost his family. Why? Why? Why did that happen? I believe that Lot was put in a situation where he vexed his righteous soul because he did not remain separated from the world. You go to Genesis 19. Here comes the angels of the Lord to rescue Lot. And what happens? The Sodomites. By the way, the whole city was a bunch of Sodomites. There was not one person that was into Sodomite. How do you know that? Look at this. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground and said, behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto thy servant's house and tarry all night. It's amazing how he identified them as angels. And wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we'll abide in the street all night. Now, this is to show you that Lot knew that the place was wicked. You say, what are you talking about? It says, but we will abide in the street all the night. Now look at the response of Lot. And he pressed upon them, like, come on, don't do this. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they entered into his house. And he made him a feast and did bake unleavened bread. And they did eat. All right. He was trying to protect them. Not that they need protecting. Like I said, Lot probably saw all kinds of wickedness going out there. Who knows? Maybe they messed with him. I don't know. But before they laid down, the men of the city, look at this. Even the men of Sodom compassed the house round, both old and young. The whole place was a bunch of Sodomites. And that's what Sodomites want. They want the young to be corrupted. And in the Homosexual Manifesto from 1987 by Michael Swift, they want your little kids. Why do you think that the Sodomites in your kindergarten school with these drag queens dancing up and down in thongs and stuff on strip poles? They're trying. Why is it that the gay choir in California is saying, we want your sons? You fools. Don't be naive. They want your sons. And in this case, they were successful. In Genesis 19, it says, before the late young and old from all the people from every quarter. They don't care if your kid's 5 years old. They're going to show them that Sodomite stuff. That's why it's in the cartoons. That's why it's on Disney. That's why they have so many characters. And by the way, Christian, you shouldn't be going to Disney. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to see this night, unto thee this night? And bring them out unto us that we may know them. That was their custom. Visitors come in. What did they do? They sodomized them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Now look at this now. He tries to fit in. All right, and then after I read this verse, I'll give my the title of the message. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He calls them brethren. I want to preach a message entitled The Dangers of Fitting In with the World. Guys, Lot put himself in a bad situation where, in my opinion, he was too afraid to speak out against sin until it came to this matter. He wanted to be comfortable with them. He wanted to be among them. He wanted to live among them. I think he was too afraid to call out their sin up until this point because he knew about their hostility. They were hostile. You can see that in Genesis 19. And the Sodomites are like that today. You say a man is a man and a woman is a woman. They get offended. They want you to get fired. They want to string you up and kill you. You say there's no such thing as a woman becoming a man or a man becoming a woman. They get offended. Oh, the tragedy. A young man said, there's no such thing as pronouns. What did they do? They did not let him walk at his graduation. Okay? They punish you for believing righteously. Okay? That's the situation that Lot was in. Okay? He shouldn't have been there. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He should have separated himself. And because of that, the danger is he lost his family, his sons, his other daughters and his sons-in-law, his wife were killed in Sodom. Why? Because he looked towards the world. He headed towards the world. He first entered Zoar. It's a little city 40 miles away from Sodom. If I'm wrong, email me. Okay? And then he got closer. He went past Zoar. And then he went into the, you know, further in. Further in. You see, when you look towards the world, you enter in at the world. And then you want to be in the middle of the world. Let's read a few verses about being separated. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Okay, part of conformity is remaining silent about sin. You have to speak out against sin. All right? Because if you don't, people think you agree with it. And when you start to speak out against sin, you seem as one that mocks, as it says in Genesis 19. So let's go to Romans. All right, here's Romans. I'm in the vicinity. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you might prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Where is 2 Corinthians? That's Colossians. Where is that? Ah, here we go. I thank God for these little thumbnail things on my Bible. 2 Corinthians. Okay, so I passed it. Here's Galatians. Okay, here we go. And then we'll do 6:14 here. And be not unequally yoked. Now, what is a yoke? A yoke is a device engineered to combine two animals together. It's usually made out of wood. It's to combine your strengths. It's to team up. All right, so imagine being yoked up to something. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? All right, so notice with me the incompatibility with righteousness with unrighteousness. Let's read. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which I have not known man. See, he calls the sin wicked, okay? Iniquity. I pray you, bring them unto me and do as you want, you know, do what you want with my daughters, you know, rape them and all that. For therefore these men came under the shadow of my roof. They're my guests. Leave them alone. Now look at verse 9, guys, for this point, the incompatibility of righteousness and wickedness. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed on him sore, pressed sore upon the man. They grabbed him up, they snatched him up, probably backhanded him a couple times. Even Lot, and came near to break the door. So they snatched him up, about to break down the door. Guys, did you catch that? In verse 7, he called what they wanted to do, which is raping the angels, male figures. He called it, he said, do not so wickedly. That did not sit well with these Sodomites. That's what happens today in America and throughout the world. You call it nasty, you preach against it, and what happens? They want to kill you. Now listen to me, for those that say that we must preach, oh, we must love them, which means you don't want people to preach against your sin. How did that work out for Lot? He called them brethren. They're about to kill the man for even calling out the sin, calling them brethren. Didn't work. Hey, preach the truth. Don't be nice about wickedness. Okay? All right. So they strung him up. So we go back to the 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He's over there trying to yoke up with them. Oh, do not so wickedly, my brethren. Calling them brethren. For what fellowship with righteousness and with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? How did that work out for just Lot? Okay? You say, well, how do you know he's just? You got to go to 2 Peter 2:7. Okay? Let's go there. He was backslidden, but he was saved. Look, go with me. Where is that verse, man? Let me see. Okay, here we go. So is it 2 Peter? Yeah, 2 Peter 2:7. Okay, it says, unto you therefore which believe. Oh, I'm in the wrong spot. I'm in 1 Peter. Here is, okay. Let's do 6. And turn in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah unto ashes, or condemn them with an overflow, making them an example. Hear that, America? An example condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that shall live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them. Guys, the righteous man was Lot. He dwelled among these Sodomites, among them, and seeing, he was watching the raping going on. That's how he knew to tell the angels, don't be in the streets. Seeing and hearing, right? Hearing. He heard the nastiness going on among them. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It is disgusting. Okay? All right. So he was righteous. By the way, when you have the time, read 1 John 2:15. You know, love not the world. All right? And what are the verses am I missing? Okay, look at 2 Corinthians 6:17. Be separate from the world. I believe that's the verse. It's right before Galatians. So 2 Corinthians 6:17. We're just there. I should have just stayed there and read the whole thing. That's first. Okay. Wherefore come out from among them and be separated, saith the Lord. And be separate from the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's what Abraham did. He didn't touch the unclean thing. All right. Lot did not. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He did not come out from among them. Hey, that's what Abraham did. Abraham was separated from his family by God. God called him out from his father's roof. He left him. That's what we should do. And when we try to fit in, we lose our sons, our daughters, our wife. For when we look at the world, when you tolerate the world, when you have rock and roll, rap music in your house, you have unsaved friends coming into your house that drink, cuss, and all that in front of your sons, right? And then you go to certain events, rock concerts, and skip church. What's going to happen to your family? Well, this is what's going to happen. Look at this now. It says there, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is wax. Wax means to grow, guys. What? W-A-A. By the way, it's not hard to understand in King James. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit will teach you. And then you grab a dictionary. This word waxen, W-A-X-E-N, it means to grow. Look that up in a dictionary. It's still there. These, they call them archaic, but they're not. They're in the dictionary. Waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. And he said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He never took righteousness seriously up until this point. So when you have a family, if you're listening to rock and roll and doing wickedness in front of your family, and then you say, you know what, we need to start doing right, they're going to think you're joking because you never took it seriously to begin with. By the way, you shouldn't let your, you know, I read, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You shouldn't let your kids marry unsaved people. Daughters are gone. Okay? Look at some of these people that I grew up with that call themselves. I grew up in a church that preached the Bible. I'm in a church right now that preaches the Bible. But I have people that grew up in that. And their kids they don't have one foot in the world and one foot in church. They're all the way into the world. And now those people that are my age have kids themselves. What do? They go to gay nightclubs, or at least that's what it looked like to me, because this person that used to go to church, you have all these feminine looking men around her, right? And then she dresses up her daughter like a harlot, like a whore, all right? And dancing around to rock and roll music, all right? How did that all happen? Okay, hey, let me tell you, I'm going to be straight up with you. You know why I think that happened? When people have a problem with a man of God, like my youth pastor, and take their kids out of the youth pastor's class to hear good preaching, right? And you badmouth him. And then when he's on the pulpit, you're out of town because you don't like the youth pastor. When you start talking bad about the pastor in front of your kids, and then when you're when church on Sunday, you're supposed to be in church, you're on the beach. Yeah, and you're skipping church. I know people right now that skipped Wednesday night church service because they wanted to go clean their deck. Sunday night, they wanted to go to D.C. because they had friends over. All right, that's a recent thing. All right, if I'm wrong, God forgive me. if that's not true, but sometimes the wives talk too much, you know what I'm saying, and then ride their husbands out. So basically, that's probably what happened. All right, their kids don't take it seriously. Let me tell you, right now, I know a family. Right now, this dad said, "Man, my son, he doesn't listen to me." Well, maybe because you kept skipping church while they were growing up, so they didn't. So when they saw that you didn't take God seriously, what makes you think that your kids are going to take God seriously? Hey, dads, right now, you say, "Man, you're young. How dare you talk to us like you know everything?" Let me tell you something. When you don't go to church while your kid's 7 years old, don't expect your kid to take church seriously when he hits 15, 16, and 18. No way, Jose. Okay? We have to take this stuff seriously so that the influence among our family is taken seriously. Lot had no influence. It says, he seemed as one that mocked. He looked towards the world. He went into the world. He entered into the world. And then he dwelled in the world. He's calling his people brethren. Look how it happened. He looked. He entered Zoar. And then he went into Sodom. My goodness. When you look at the world, it's only a matter of time before you want to be in the world. And then you're in the world and you lose your whole family. The dangers of fitting in with the world. You got to watch what you watch on TV, what you listen to. Stop talking bad about the preacher. If the preacher is living right and walking in accord, according to the word of God, don't badmouth him. I'll always remember that. My dad always told me, go into the youth pastor's class. Go into youth pastor's class. What these other idiots do? They spite the youth pastor. They take their kids out of it. And now their kids are not living right today. Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. There was one guy, he talked bad about the youth pastor. It said some stupid stuff about him. All of a sudden, someone broke his hand. Or no, actually, I think it was somebody else. But he was talking bad about a preacher. How about that? And then his hand got broken that following week. You know, you don't even know. Maybe it was coincidental or touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Who knows? All right. So now let's look at our last point, the disappointed shock. So you remember Abraham was beseeching the Lord, like, Lord, how about 10? How about 10? How about 10? Abraham was hoping that Lot had enough influence to lead his family to the Lord. It is utterly impossible to raise a family towards the Lord if I, my friend, decide to raise our family in the world. You say, we're already in the world. Hey, but we're not of the world. All right, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them. And that's what he's hoping for. And guess what? He was shocked and disappointed. Look, go with me to Genesis towards the end. Genesis 19, 28, 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He's saying, all right, I got up. Let's see if good old Lot, my nephew, did right and influenced his family to get saved. All right. Oh, no. Lot's family wasn't saved after all. It says, and looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the plain of the plain and beheld. And lo. Lo is like, oh, my goodness. Look at that. He's shocked. That's what lo means. The smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Now, look, guys. I'm probably Abraham was like, you know what? Maybe my nephew wasn't even saved either. The deal was, and Jesus agreed with it, that if you find 10, I will spare the city. He looked up. Oh, no. Lot's family wasn't saved. That was the 10 I was thinking about. If Lot's family was saved, I wouldn't be seeing the smoke. But now I see it. Maybe even my nephew is not saved. Maybe he found out later on that Lot did survive. We just don't know. The Bible doesn't say they were united after that. Does it talk about Lot anymore? Can you imagine the heartache of seeing, hey, parents, for those that have kids and then grandchildren, and then you see that your sons and daughters are raising your grandchildren towards a life that you forsook, towards a life that you decided to get rid of because you got saved, a life that you decided not to raise your family in, and only to see your own grandchildren heading into that same direction by your own children. And it's possibly your fault because you lived in the world a little bit. I don't know, man. We just don't know. But, right? That's what Lot was, Abraham was thinking. And knowing that your own relatives are in hell, are going to hell, the disappointing shock. He looked and saw, and he said, he probably said, my goodness, they weren't saved. He was hoping. It's shocking. You see these people that grew up in church and they come back, they got tattoos on. They got pregnant several times and they know better. They got this one guy got this chick pregnant and they know better. And they come back and you're like, what in the world happened? And then you see them raising their kids towards the world. They have no godly influence. And you're like, lo, I surely thought that while he was with me, while he was in the same church as me, that he would have influenced his family towards the Lord to ward off judgment. The dangers of fitting in the world. You churches out there that want to have men with ponytails on, singing in the choir with earrings on, tattoos all over the place. You churches out there that want to have rock music, you want to have rap music in your church. Because of you, that's why we have this judgment on the face of this place called America. Because you did not see the dangers of fitting in. You want to call sinners brethren and make them feel comfortable. You don't want to call out on their sin. And perhaps you are the reason why we have this type of judgment. We Christians, as dads have to take, and mothers have to take, our parents have to take sin seriously. We cannot live one way in front of our kids and one way in church in front of our kids. They will not take us seriously and we will lose them. You know, this is a sobering thought, man. You know, it really is. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to learn from this passage of the dangers of fitting in. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.